We're going to be looking at verse 1 to 6 this morning. Let me begin with a little story for you. A few years back, just a few years ago, when I was still a young teenager, I remember going to the temple on a Saturday morning with my dad. Like many kids are told, I was given the task of cutting the grass in the backyard of the temple. Because I grew up as a Sikh, I went to Sikh temple with my parents, and this was a Saturday morning, I had to cut the grass in the backyard. And like many kids, when it is a hot summer day, the last thing you want to do is be pushing a lawnmower and cutting grass. Anybody say amen to that? Yeah, cutting grass, not so fun, right? So I did what I thought was a good enough job. And that's not a picture of exactly what it was like, but picture something like that. You know, I thought, hey, that's good. It's pretty much all cut. I think it's okay. But my dad wasn't super convinced with my estimation of how well I had done. You know, and dads have a way of kind of sharing that with you when they see that the job you've done hasn't been quite done to their expectation. And so he had some choice words for me. And he shared with me, after giving me these choice words, some words of wisdom. And these were these words of wisdom that he gave me and have stayed with me this whole time over all these few years since I was a young teenager. He said this: God gave you two hands to work hard with. So make sure that whatever you do, be sure to do the best job that you can. And then I had to cut the grass again and fix it. And that was good. But, you know, it was just those are just one of many words of wisdom that have stayed in my life and in my heart for many, many years that have actually, that input has actually influenced the way that I work and live. It really has. Those are words of wisdom that we can glean. And I just thought, wow, that's good. Not that I really wanted to hear that at the time on that hot summer day, but it was good wisdom. And so you take that, you incorporate that into your life if you're wise. And, you know, it's really safe to say this morning that we have all been influenced by significant people in our lives over the years and over our lifetime, haven't we? Is there anyone here that would say, nope, I haven't been influenced by anyone? I am my own person. I've only just learned by trial and error, and I haven't been, no? Okay, good. Good. I thought I saw a hand go up there, and I was going to say, whoa, hey, ooh. So that's good. So, you know, we've all been influenced. We've all been influenced by significant people in our lives, and we gain valuable knowledge and insight from the people that are around us, don't we? Would you agree with me? That makes sense. We've picked up this wisdom from parents, like I just shared with you, from friends, from teachers, from mentors, and others that have more life experience than we do. All the people who have helped shape us as we were growing up. Those are all the people that have had influence in our lives. Wisdom. Wisdom. And then this is why we're looking at Proverbs. Wisdom is such a valuable commodity, isn't it? Amen? Wisdom is a valuable commodity. It's something so important that we need in our lives and that we should always be open to gaining greater amounts of wisdom. I really believe that. Let me ask you the question this morning. What kind of wisdom did people impart into you? What kind of wisdom did people speak into your life growing up? What wisdom did you gain from your parents or from teachers and those that have shaped you into who you are today? Have you ever taken a moment to think about that? Sometimes you can think about that and give thanks for that because it's enriched your life. Wisdom can come from many sources, and some of you, it's probably very good wisdom that you received. And for some, it can be wrong wisdom that you receive, right? You can receive wisdom or you think is wisdom, or somebody gives you something that can seem like wisdom, but it's not really good wisdom. It's totally off on a tangent or wherever the case is. And so, you know, if you really want to discover as an adult, part of being an adult is sorting through all of that stuff, right? What is right? What is wrong? What is truly wise? And then rejecting the unwise, right? You know, you can watch something, you can read something, and you can kind of glean the things from that. You think, yes, okay, I can take that, and then reject some of those things. You need discernment and wisdom to kind of take what you're going to receive and leave what you don't need, right? The wise and the unwise. And so this morning we're starting a new series called Living Wisely in God's World. And in this series, we're going to take a look at God's wisdom from the book of Proverbs. And I really love the Proverbs because they're just good, short, you know, these words of wisdom And we're going to get into that over the next number of weeks. But today we're going to start by talking about God's wisdom for our lives in general. And today we're going to find out what true wisdom is and what the Proverbs are and then some prerequisites for living wisely, prerequisites to living wisely. Are you with me? Do you want to have greater godly wisdom today? Yes? Good. Fantastic. Then we can move forward. If you would have said, no, not at all, I would have said, let's pray and we're going to go. Okay. So this is good. We're good. We're on the same page. So open to Proverbs chapter 1 here. I know you're already there. Verse 1 to 6. We're going to read this together. And these are the introductory words to this book of wisdom literature, as it's called. Here's what it says. These are the Proverbs of Solomon, David's son, king of Israel. Their purpose is to teach people wisdom and discipline, to help them understand the insights of the wise. Their purpose is to teach people to live disciplined and successful lives, to help them do what is right, just, and fair. These proverbs will give insight to the simple, knowledge and discernment to the young. Let the wise listen to these proverbs and become even wiser. Let those with understanding receive guidance by exploring the meaning of these proverbs and parables, the words of the wise and their riddles. Church, the truth is that each day we make decisions, and each decision often has many options that are morally permissible. Do you understand what I say when I say that? I mean, we make many decisions and that are morally permissible. We can have options to do different things. It's not so much which is the right choice. It's which is the wise choice. You know, there's a difference, right? Between the right choice and the wise choice. And so that's really what it's about. Wisdom goes beyond right and wrong. And it shows us which choice is best based on the complex realities of life. Because we all know that life is full of complexities, is it not? So we need wisdom, and we can thank God for that this morning. That God gives us wisdom. He speaks to us through the word and allows us to glean and understand and grow in wisdom. So let's take a quick moment and pray. Father, we thank you. Lord, we thank you for your word. We thank you for Proverbs. We thank you, Jesus, that as we take some time over the next number of weeks, Lord, to just learn what your word says, that we would gain wisdom. Lord, that we would gain wisdom and grow in our understanding of who you are, grow in our understanding, Jesus, of how to live our lives with wisdom. God, I pray that we would be open to receive that word. Lord, we would be open to receive what you have for us. And Lord, that you would just clear away any of the roadblocks that may exist in our lives that hold us back from truly understanding your purpose for us. God, we want to be open to doing what you've called us to do, and that's to share the good news, to make disciples, to see people be baptized in your name. God, that the world would come to know you, Jesus. And you've called us, you've positioned us as a church to do that here on the Sunshine Coast and even beyond. And Lord, we don't want to be sitting here and be criticized for not dreaming big enough and for not looking to you and saying, God, you are more than able to accomplish way more than we can. So Lord, use us, grow us, help us to become wise so that we're able to best share your word here in this place, best able to live our lives for you, glorifying you in everything we say and do. We look to you for help today. Amen. Amen. Friends, there's no doubt that there's a great need for wisdom in our society today. Would you say amen to that? There's a great need for wisdom in our society. You only need to look around at the decisions that people make and the consequences they find themselves in to see the need for increased wisdom, right? There's a lack of wisdom that destroys the lives of many young people around us. It makes fools of some who are older because of lack of wisdom. Marriages are destroyed because of lack of wisdom. Friendships are lost because of lack of wisdom. And lives are ruined because of the lack of wisdom in our decisions. Lives are ruined. So we see that clearly there's a great need for an increase of wisdom in our society today. And for us today as Christians, for those that follow Jesus, we are to have a biblical godly wisdom to help lead our lives, because God's given us the word. He's given us a word so that we can grow and build our wisdom, our understanding of what God wants, and we can walk in that. If you were to turn to Ephesians chapter 5, verse 15 to 17, it says this, "So be careful how you live. Don't live like fools, but like those who are wise. Make the most of every opportunity in these evil days. Don't act thoughtlessly, but understand what the Lord wants you to do. You need wisdom. We need wisdom. I need wisdom to know what the Lord wants me and what He wants you to do. The Lord will speak. So why do we need wisdom? The Bible gives us the answer in Ephesians, because the time is short, the days are evil, and that we have to make the best use of our time. And this is a call back to remind us that we are God's plan for this community. We are God's plan for this community. He wants to use us as a church. We are the people, you and me, are the people that God has called into this community, the ones called by God to share the good news today, because we don't know the day that Jesus is coming back. We don't know the day Jesus is coming back. So the time is short, and we're called to that. We need to put aside every immature thing. We need to put aside anything that holds us back from that and grow up into saying, yes, Lord, I'm here. I want to do what you called me to do, because the time is short. Amen? Amen. Amen. Too many people today are wasting both their time and their lives by failing to use wisdom in their daily lives. The Word of God gives us wisdom and equips us with the work that we're called to. 1 Timothy chapter 3, verse 16 and 17 says, "All Scripture is inspired by God and is useful to teach us what is true and to make us realize what is wrong in our lives. It corrects us when we are wrong and teaches us to do what is right. God uses it to prepare and equip His people to do every good work." You see, we have to believe today that based on that scripture, the Bible will give us good advice about living our everyday lives with wisdom. Does that make sense? Yeah, the Bible is going to give us the information we need, the wisdom that we need to live our lives out in the way God wants us to live it out. And the truth is that it does. And we see that wisdom for living clearly in the book of Proverbs is found in the Old Testament. We see that in the Old Testament. The book of Proverbs begins by telling us that Solomon, the son of David, king of Israel, he's the author. So who was Solomon? Who was Solomon? He was one of the greatest kings of Israel. And during the time that he ruled, Israel was a powerful and rich nation. I mean, this just blew me away. Did you know that Solomon was given great wealth by God? In fact, in 1 Kings chapter 10, verse 14, it tells us that each year Solomon received 25 tons of gold. Solomon received 25 tons of gold every year. I mean, 25 tons. I tried to find a picture of what 25 tons of gold looks like, and I really couldn't find anything appropriate that would fit. 25 tons. I mean, gold's pretty heavy, but 25 tons of gold? You know, I mean, and in my mind, that like kind of speaks, because in my culture, we grew up, like, gold is a really big deal. Like, we don't do diamonds and stuff. We do gold in our culture growing up. And so, you know, I have a bunch of gold, and Leslie has a bunch of gold, and my parents have a bunch of gold, and it's gold is a big deal. And so, you know, 25 tons of gold. He was very wealthy, and that was just in a year, right? So God also made Solomon the wisest man in the earth. 2 Chronicles chapter 1, verse 7 to 12 says this: "That night God appeared to Solomon and said, 'What do you want? Ask and I will give it to you.' Solomon replied to God, 'You showed great and faithful love to David, my father, and now you have made me king in his place. O Lord God, please continue to keep your promise to David, my father, for you have made me king over a people as numerous as the dust of the earth. Give me wisdom and knowledge to lead them properly. For who could possibly govern this great people of yours?' God said to Solomon, 'Because your greatest desire is to help your people, and you did not ask for wealth, riches, fame, or even the death of your enemies or a long life, but rather you asked for wisdom and knowledge to properly govern my people, I will certainly give you the wisdom and knowledge you requested. But I will also give you wealth, riches, and fame such as no other king has had before you or will ever have in the future.'" So that's right from the Word of God. During Solomon's reign, the people of Israel were very prosperous. And as it is true today, it was true back then also. When people have plenty, they often forget God, don't they? Amen? That happens. They forget the important wisdom used for living godly lives. Solomon, because he became famous for his wisdom, he actually wrote over 3,000 Proverbs. And they're not all in the Bible, obviously. Over 3,000 Proverbs. I love what 1 Kings chapter 4, 29 to 34 says about Solomon. God gave Solomon very great wisdom and understanding, and knowledge as vast as the sands of the seashore. In fact, his wisdom exceeded that of all the wise men of the East and the wise men of Egypt. He was wiser than anyone else, including Ethan, the Ezrahite, and the sons of Mahol, Heman, Calcol, and Darda. His fame spread throughout all the surrounding nations. He composed some 3,000 proverbs and wrote 1,005, I like that it says 1,005, songs. He could speak with authority about all kinds of plants, from the great cedar of Lebanon to the tiny hyssop that grows from cracks in a wall. He could also speak about animals, birds, small creatures, and fish. And kings from every nation sent their ambassadors to listen to the wisdom of Solomon. That's incredible. I had no idea that Solomon was such a gardener. He was really into that stuff, and that's just fantastic. The book of Proverbs was written to help us to remember God and the right way to live. Let me illustrate this for you. It's been said that a wise man learns by the experience of others. An ordinary man learns by his own experience, and a fool learns by nobody's experience. You can write that down. It's true. It's true. Isn't it great that God gives us wisdom also? I mean, isn't that amazing that God gives us this wisdom? He gives us the Bible to read and to understand, and the Proverbs are full of wisdom for us to take in and make our own. I thank God for that. We can thank God this morning, can't we? We can thank God this morning that He cares so much for us that He recorded His wisdom for us to live lives that are rich and full. Amen to that? Amen. This morning, we're going to take a look at the opening of the book of Proverbs, and in the weeks ahead, you're going to want to make sure that you have a notebook with you so that you can take some notes on your own and then be able to study that as you go home and over the week as you study God's Word. And so let me encourage you and let me challenge you today to pray about what you hear each week and ask God to make it personal for each and every single one of you in your lives. Because, you know, you can hear what I'm going to share on the Proverbs, but God has something for you. And He wants to speak to you. And so it's up to you to receive that. It's up to you to process that. It's up to you to pray about that and ask God what He's saying to you through those Proverbs. So I challenge you and I encourage you to do that. Get a notebook, take notes, write down some of those sermon notes, write down some of those verses, and then go back to them, reflect on them over the week. So what is wisdom? Webster's Dictionary defines wisdom as this: an accumulated philosophic or scientific learning. It also says ability to discern inner qualities and relationships. Also says it's good sense. It also defines wisdom as a wide attitude, belief, or course of action, or the teachings of the ancient wise man. Again, it's fair to say that many people are desperately looking for wisdom. And we want to make good choices so that we can benefit from decisions that we make based on sound wisdom. With wisdom, people can make the choices that will best suit their getting what they desire. And in the eyes of the world and people who don't know about biblical wisdom, they say this: if any of you lack wisdom, let them ask Google. Okay? You hear, yeah, if you lack wisdom, ask Google. You regularly hear people say that. Just Google it. You want to know? Just Google it. You know, when we look at the first 6 verses of Proverbs, we discover the purpose of this book, this collection of wisdom. The purpose is to know wisdom and instruction, to perceive words of understanding. The word continues by saying to receive the instruction of wisdom, justice, judgment, and equality. Proverbs is made to give the simple or the naive prudence or good judgment or common sense. There's this great old fellow that I make a point of talking to every time I'm at the Legion for their luncheon once a month. And he's fantastic. I think he's English. And almost without fail, He always has something to say about the lack of common sense that he sees around him. And I just love this guy. He's fantastic. He calls it CS. And the first time he was telling me about this, I was like, what? CS? I thought he was trying to say something else. I didn't really understand what was going on. And no, he says common sense. And if you've been at the Legion, you might know who I'm talking about. But he's a fantastic guy. But he says it with such passion that there's a lack of common sense in society today. He sees it all around him. And I would agree with him. There's a lack of common sense. You know, Proverbs is made to give the simple, like I said, good judgment or common sense. It's to give the young man knowledge and discretion. It's to give the wise man increased learning. I really think that a truly wise person is one who says that they still are learning, that they're still becoming wiser. That's a wise man to me. Somebody that says, yeah, I haven't got it all figured out yet. And in fact, I'm open to learning new things about the things that I already figured, that I already had figured out, if that makes any sense. Proverbs is designed to make a person wise, and specifically to learn how to act wisely and righteously, to be able to treat others with fairness, to give the ignorant common sense, to the young sound advice, the wise even more wisdom. So what's the value of wisdom then? What's the value of wisdom? According to one source, it can be defined as a realistic approach to the problems of life. Let me use this example. Suppose you are yelled at by your boss, or your wife, or husband, or Christian brother or sister. You have a choice in how you're going to react. You could choose to fight back physically or verbally. You could do nothing at all and just ignore what's happening. Or you could react with what Proverbs chapter 15 verse 1 says. A gentle answer deflects anger, but harsh words make tempers flare. You might not say that to the person, but you might live that out. You might give a gentle answer. Wisdom is that insight which helps you to decide what is the best thing to do. And I don't know about you, but I need wisdom. I think we can all say we need wisdom to know what the best thing is to do in all kinds of things. Well, on the other hand, here is kind of what happens when you don't choose well. Let me just bring the lights down and throw this short little video clip on. This is what happens when you don't choose wisdom. Lack of wisdom used there. Some of you have seen that Malcolm in the Middle show. Bill Hybels observes this about the book of Proverbs. You can turn the lights back on so I can see my notes. Bill Hybels observes this about the book of Proverbs. He says this, what is wisdom? Wisdom is what is true and right combined with good judgment. Other words that fit under the umbrella of the biblical concept of wisdom are discerning, judicious, prudent, and sensible. Not very glamorous words, perhaps, but words you can build a life on. You see, there's a variety of areas that are written about in the Proverbs. The first 9 chapters really speak to the value of having godly wisdom. The worthiness of wisdom is seen in the prosperous life that it can produce through Proverbs chapter 3, verse 3 to 18. It says this, joyful is the person who finds wisdom, the one who gains understanding, for wisdom is more profitable than silver, and her wages are better than gold. Wisdom is more precious than rubies. Nothing you desire can compare with her. She offers you long life in her right hand and riches and honor in her left. She will guide you down delightful paths. All her ways are satisfying. Wisdom is a tree of life to those who embrace her. Happy are those who hold her tightly. Wisdom, godly wisdom, allows our hearts to be in tune with his desires for our life. Does that make sense? Our faith is planted in a healthy garden that helps to grow the deep roots into the soil so that when trials come, we're able to withstand and hold fast to our faith. And earthly wisdom, when we look at wisdom of this world, earthly wisdom, on the other hand, can give us the illusion of deep-rootedness, can't it? We can think that we're very wise in our own strength, and we can think that it has provided for us all kinds of stability, but it's an illusion. Until the storms of life come, and they do come, worldly wisdom, it can't stand the testing. It's weak and will be tossed around and damaged. Proverbs helps us to be watchful for the pitfalls that can cause us so much pain. If you look at Proverbs chapter 3, 21 to 26, it says this, "My child, don't lose sight of common sense and discernment. Hang on to them, for they will refresh your soul. They are like jewels on a necklace. They keep you safe on your way, and your feet will not stumble. You can go to bed without fear. You can lie down and sleep soundly. You need not be afraid of sudden disaster or the destruction that comes upon the wicked. For the Lord is your security. He will keep your foot from being caught in a trap." Thank the Lord for that word. Friends, there's a few ways that we can gain wisdom over our lives. Number one is trial and error or personal experience. Our own experiences can certainly be a source of wisdom, can't they? But there are definite disadvantages to gaining wisdom this way, isn't there? I mean, think about it. How much time can we waste in our lives if we limit our gaining wisdom only to our own experiences? How much time can we waste? Quite a bit, right? Would you agree? If it's just in our own experiences? The other problem with this method is of gaining wisdom is that we have to live with the consequences or the times that we discover error. That's why it's called trial and error. Right? You have to live with those consequences. I mean, hey, I would rather learn that riding a motorcycle fast around corners in the rain is a bad idea from someone teaching me rather than through trial and error. Okay? I like this. If you can see that picture a little better, it's two guys there. One's holding the umbrella and they're not dressed well and they're riding through a lot of rain. Sadly, you know what? This is the only way that some people gain wisdom, by trial and error. And that's only if they survive their errors. Right? The second thing is counsel from others, proven wisdom. And if you're willing to take advice from others, and I encourage you to be willing to take advice from others, it's a great way to gain wisdom. There are a few clear advantages to gaining wisdom this way. First, you avoid wasting years of your life through trial and error, which helps you to live your life more fully. Secondly, you gain experience without having to deal with the mistakes you've made, right? That error piece I just talked about. Hear me when I say this. Godly counsel doesn't replace the value of having the experience yourself. It just helps you to navigate that experience in a way that makes better sense. Okay? Have you ever experienced those times in your life where you put your faith in the wisdom of this world instead of trusting the Lord for an answer? It seemed that maybe we thought we could do a better job of determining the best course of action rather than God. And I know for my life that there have been those hard lessons learned over the years. And I'm sure you could say, yep, been there, learned those hard lessons over my life. And I'm sure that I will face those hard times again, as you probably will also, where my source of wisdom is put to the test. Trust my own wisdom or trust God's wisdom? You'll all have to deal with that. I will have to deal with that. And that's okay, because guess what? We're all a work in progress, aren't we? Is there anybody here that's arrived? Don't raise your hand. We're all a work in progress. I remember, I'm going to close with this in just a minute. I remember when Leslie and I were in the middle of one of the biggest decisions of our lives. And it was a number of years ago, and it was the deciding whether we should follow the call of God and move from BC to Ontario when I was asked to consider a role at our international office. And it was such a hard decision with our family being so young. All of our extended family was here in BC. Our kids are 4 and 6 years old at the time. It's a hard decision to make. And Leslie had just started a business about a year prior, maybe. And so it was a hard decision, hard to figure out. And I thank God for my neighbor where I lived. He was a friend of mine, and he was also our assistant district superintendent, John Kaplan. At the time, he was our assistant district superintendent, a very wise man. And I got a chance to sit with him and talk to him and receive wise counsel. And he helped me to see what God was doing in ways that I hadn't seen. The wisdom that he had was incredibly valuable in being able to best discern what to do. So instead of wasting our short lives here on earth trying to discover wisdom through the process of trial and error, we can go straight to the book of Proverbs. We can find wisdom that's from God. And that's an amazing insight, isn't it? The creator of the universe offers us his wisdom. I mean, come on. You got to see that that's amazing. Do you not? That's amazing. It's not a philosopher's wisdom. It's not some guru's wisdom. It's the wisdom of Yahweh, God Almighty, for us today. Like, if you can't be in awe of that, I challenge you to reconsider your thought of who God is. The book of Proverbs is proven to be true by generations of people who lived their lives by it. Doug, if you could just come and join me, worship team. For those of you who will take the time to learn from Proverbs, for those of you that will take the time to learn from Proverbs, to pray and to search his word, there is the promise of wisdom. There is the promise of wisdom. And if you're here today, you're here this morning, and you're saying, oh man, I really need godly wisdom to make some decisions, let me encourage you, go to the book of Proverbs. Go to the book of Proverbs this week. Ask God to speak to you through his word. James chapter 1, verse 5 to 8 says this, if you need wisdom, ask our generous God, and he will give it to you. He will not rebuke you for asking, but when you ask, be sure that your faith is in God alone. Do not waver, for a person with divided loyalty is as unsettled as a wave at the sea that is blown and tossed by the wind. Such people should not expect to receive anything from the Lord. Their loyalty is divided between God and the world, and they are unstable in everything they do. But listen, I want you to remember that first piece. If you need wisdom, ask our generous God, and he will give it to you. Amen? Gaining wisdom this way is much, much better, a much better way to find wisdom than most people do it. God is calling us today to choose wisdom. He's calling us to choose wisdom today, wisdom that we can live our lives by. You and I have to choose to put our trust, all of our trust, in the Lord. And today is an opportunity for you to do that. Proverbs chapter 4, 7 to 9 says, getting wisdom is the wisest thing you can do. And whatever else you do, develop good judgment. If you prize wisdom, she will make you great. Embrace her and she will honor you. She will place a lovely wreath on your head. She will present you with a beautiful crown. There is a lot of value in wisdom, friends. If you want to just stand with me this morning, if you can, you don't have to, but if you can, I just invite you to stand. My prayer for us this morning, is that we would grow in maturity and grow in wisdom as followers of Jesus, to develop in him, to grow mature, to grow wise as followers of Christ. And as we study Proverbs together over the next number of weeks, we have an opportunity to do that. And it's just awesome. I love that God's word speaks to us. It speaks to us if we have ears to hear. And without Jesus in our lives, there's no way that we can be truly wise. And if you're here this morning and you don't know Jesus personally, can I encourage you to ask him into your life today? And I would love to talk to you about that after the service this morning. If you're ready to ask Jesus to come into your heart, this can be the day that God has for you, for your life to be changed and transformed by the power of Jesus. We can go today, we can rejoice, and we can be glad that God is for us. Amen? God is for us, that he wants to fill our lives with wisdom, so that we can have the full and abundant life that he has promised us as Christians. And we have that life so that we can share it with others and lead them to Jesus as well. So let's close with thanksgiving this morning. Let's close with praise. Let's close with an open heart to receive more of the wisdom of God in the days ahead. Amen? Let's pray together. Father, we thank you this morning. We thank you, Jesus, that you are sovereign. You are over us, Lord. You are over all. You lead us and your heart for us. Your desire for your church today is wisdom. God, that we would repent, that we would come before you, we would be open to receive you into our hearts, Lord, and that we would look to seek your wisdom, godly wisdom. I pray, Lord, for each one of us, God, that you would be speaking to us today. You would be speaking to us this week because, God, you are for us. You are for us. You love us. You care for us, God, and there's nothing that can change that. And so we pray, Lord, that your grace and your mercy would flow and that you would speak love and encouragement into our lives and that we would grow wise as we learn from Proverbs, Lord, as we learn from your word, God, as we seek wise counsel. Lord, as we walk away from just kind of the trial and error type of mentality, but be open to receiving wise counsel. And that's a choice that we have to make. And so, God, I pray we'd be open to receive, Lord, what you have for us today. I pray, God, your richest blessings on each and every one here, Lord God. I pray that your spirit would continue to lead and guide, bring conviction, turn us away from the wrong towards the right, Lord. And your spirit can do that better than any person can. So we thank you, Lord, that your grace and your mercy is here for us today. And Lord, we can be in you. We can be with you. You can lead us. And God, we just pray your blessing today. Come and have your way in our lives every day. Give you thanks, Lord, today. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.